And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Download our Red Eye Radio app today. And you can listen when and where you choose if you can't listen live overnight. All right, so looking at the inflation numbers that came out on Friday, the overall personal consumption expenditures, or PCE, price index, rose 0.6% on the month and 5.4% from a year ago. Wall Street had expected a 0.4% monthly rise. The 12-month PCE inflation rate was expected to slip to 4.9%. Core PCE inflation, which strips out volatile food and inflation prices, also rose 0.6% on the month and versus a forecast of 0.4%. The core inflation rate rose to 4.7%, defying expectations that it would dip to 4.3%. January's hot inflation readings looked even worse because of the upward revisions to the December price data that was initially seen as lukewarm. And so this set off a discussion everywhere that, you know, was the Fed wrong on just, you know, doing 0.25%, whether they should have gone more than 0.5%,
right?
For consecutive times, and so I'm hearing now anywhere between you're not going to get this problem solved unless you get a Fed rate of 6 to 7%.
Well, that's it. I think over the last couple of months, the general consensus by analysts has been they've got to get to a Fed target rate of 6 or higher. And historically, that's how you get on top of it. And you do that by, you know, you go higher, you drive a recession. You're looking for things to, you're trying to make things cool down. And they apparently don't have any intention of doing that. Because here's the thing. Here's the problem. If they have two more hikes for this year, and let's say they went 0.75 on each, that would get them above the 6%. Mm-hmm. You start driving a recession, and a recession would be hitting right during the campaign season. But yeah, the problem is the inflation is becoming so cumbersome for the consumer. I don't know that there is a win. You're going to have to show that you're aggressive and you're concerned about the inflation, and they're not, and the Fed just isn't showing that, in my opinion. I saw something over the weekend, and I thought, hold on a second. The headline was like, historically, Fed would drive a recession. Fed move would drive a recession, and I looked at it, and they were just saying, historically, that's what happens. But there is no consensus that has anyone believing that Powell, the Fed chairman, is going to make that move.
And if you look at it, gasoline down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may go up now as we get closer to April. But you saw that natural gas. Now, I don't know about the cold streak last week, but we hadn't used as much. And so that has started to come down in price.
Yeah.
But when you take energy out of it, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
When you take energy out of it and you're talking about food.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, gasoline prices probably going to go up as we head back. I saw that Texas actually dropped the average under $3 a gallon.
Yeah, I paid over the weekend. I paid what would have normally what would have been $2.67, but I purchased a car wash and it got me down to $2.47 a gallon.
Oh, okay, I saw it was $2.70 at the gas station around the corner from me. So you looked at but now with this blends coming in and the driving season, it may go up again. The one thing that is happening in the United States is they believe that in West Texas, they're going to be able to significantly over the next couple of years really increase production.
Yeah, right.
That's the one good thing. No matter what they try to do in shutting down federal lands and regulate it, there's still enough out there where and apparently innovative drillers and innovative oil companies and natural gas companies that are still able to get it.
Yeah, and that innovation, you know, if you think about it, has been driven by the heavy regulation and the necessity for oil and gas to stay alive. I mean, that's just what it comes down to, is that you're going to have to find a more efficient way. You're going to have to get to a point where you can drill and produce at a lower point per gallon or per barrel on oil. That has to be – that's been the drive for a long, long time. And it gets pretty competitive, you know, and so the companies are always looking for that innovation to, you know, create those efficiencies. But, you know, long term, and there's the political part of what Powell is facing on interest rates. If he goes a quarter of a point on the next one, then you can bet there's no reason to go even higher on the third one for this year. And will they do a fourth increase at any point? Right now, there's only really two in the forecast unless that changes. But if the Fed isn't serious about getting on top of inflation, then it's going to be here for a while because they won't do anything in 24. If they're not serious about it now, it's because they fear a recession during the election year. So if they're going to hold off on it now, they'll hold off on it until after the election.
If you were to ask me, because of the labor market, if you were to give me two choices, a recession or inflation, I'd take a recession.
Yes.
If politically.
Right.
This is what's a little bit confusing to me, is that unless they feel it doesn't matter because you're not going to see massive deflation, so they already believe they've lost that, maybe their thought process is but then again, by doing what they're doing, they're just causing stagflation.
Well,
because there are layoffs and things are happening now, so you're going to have low economic growth. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just Biden, the same thing of not wanting to visit East Palestine because he's just stubborn. And if you tell him to do one thing, the whole government's that way. You tell him to do one thing to solve the problem, they're just stubborn. No, we're not going to do it, and they'll do another because none of it makes sense.
Well, that's it.
And I know I'm being sarcastic in a way, but in a way, I'm not being sarcastic. Nothing they do makes sense. When you look at all the problems that we have, inflation, the Obama economists saw it happening. Mm-hmm. Keynesian economists saw it was so bad they saw it coming and warned the Democrats. Didn't matter. Didn't matter. Yeah. We did the story on electricity, the grid today, the PJM Intercontinental, the grid operator on the East Coast, having to cut by 2030, 21% of their fossil fuels. They can only make up half of it. Even at the most optimistic projections, the most optimistic, which aren't going to come true, they won't even get to half through solar and wind. We can see that we're not going to have enough electricity as they're trying to drive the entire system of vehicles to be electric. Everything we're doing is just things that are absolutely obvious that any idiot, you don't have to be an Einstein physicist to figure this out. It's not that complicated. And for some reason, we continue down this path of things that are just so self-aware of destroying the economy and our economic and energy security, and we seem to go, whatever.
Well, and, you know, you look on the inflation front, you look at the labor-driven inflation, and that's something they're not going to be able to control there either.
Another great point, yeah.
And so could they be looking at it saying, you know, look, we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. Better not to push a recession on everyone because the inflation, the labor-driven inflation, will still be at play in a big way, and it may be there for a long time.
But eventually, the inflation is going to lead to a recession anyway, is it not?
When you get to a point where there are no more, you know, we talk about families having to make choices during times of high inflation. At some point, you run out of options, and you start to see a collapse. And companies start to see a consumer that can't afford that price point. That it's just that nobody's showing up. This is one of the things I think that large retailers like Walmart are talking about. We're talking about the discount retailer. When they say the consumer, we don't expect the consumer to spend with us like they've been spending. They're changing the behavior. And when that changes to a certain degree, at some point you've crossed that threshold with the consumer. Those are the indicators.
Walmart's closing 9 stores.
Yeah, 2 of them in Portland.
Yeah.
Underperforming.
And the CNBC, there it is, the story I'm sure you're referring to, can't figure out this economy. Walmart, Home Depot are having trouble figuring it out, too.
Exactly. Because there are just, again, you the first stage is, okay, we'll change our shopping habits. We'll go to, generic brand, store brand, right? And we'll buy the same things, but we're going to buy a different brand. And then it is, okay, we're not going to buy the same number of items. We're going to buy the essentials. And then at some point, because the one thing we've been talking about here that this administration wants you to believe isn't happening is the compounding effect of inflation. The rate of inflation may be dropping. Prices are still going up.
Up, yep.
And last year was a huge record year for inflation, and inflation is still happening over those prices. So when you look at it, at some point then, you have a situation where families don't have options.
Somebody brought that up over the weekend. I don't know if it was CNBC or Wall Street Journal, but somebody brought up everything, you know, any lower rate that you see is being compounded by comparing it to a year ago when that is compounded from the increased prices from the year before.
Exactly.
And remember, you know, when you think about it, and you know, we are now, we really think about, because now we're into March when inflation really started. We're 2 years into inflation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it may be going up.
Yep.
Back up again.
Yeah.
And so that also, you know, you talk about, you know, consumer sentiment out there. That, you know, what do consumers think? They can't be thinking much good. And you think about Walmart and Home Depot thinking this stuff, and you and I have asked this question before. Where's the automobile business going in the next 10 years?
Well,
interest rates the way that it is,
right.
and the expense of vehicles,
mm-hmm.
where I don't see where the future is when it comes to automobile sales, except people keeping their cars an awful long time.
Yeah. No, I mean, that really is it. I mean, when you have fewer choices, I mean, that's what it comes down to. Or if you have to buy a different car, then you buy an older used car instead of buying, you know, one that's newer and slightly used.
And all of a sudden, a $5,000 repair job isn't much compared to $60,000 for a new vehicle.
Right.
Over 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is there a 10-year car loan yet? I know they had the 8-year.
Well, yeah, with that 120 months. Yeah. Why not?
Oh, wow, yeah. Are there 120 months?
I don't know.
Wow. I mean, you're underwater, what, year two?
I'm guessing you're pretty much underwater. If you're walking into a loan like that, you've been underwater for a minute.
866-90-RED-EYE.
A conversation between U.S. and European Union counterparts on transatlantic agriculture and food sustainability.
It's an ongoing conversation, and I think the most important thing here is that you need to keep talking to one another. You need to keep searching for that elusive sweet spot that you find every once in a while that allows you to take a step forward.
I can summarize our common goals in the world 4 times S: security, stability, sustainability, and solidarity.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and EU Ag Commissioner Janusz Wojciechowski Friday at this year's USDA Agricultural Outlook Forum both acknowledged similarities in their goals for food and farm production in their respective principalities and different approaches in strategy. Also discussed during the session, building joint response efforts in global humanitarian food aid and support regarding the conflict in Ukraine. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Crowley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So a Fox News poll was out showing 60% of registered U.S. voters say they have less money in their pocket than they did a year ago, compared to 50% who felt that way in February of 2022. In 2018, only 28% of registered voters reported having less money in their pockets. Mm. ABC did an interview with the president over the weekend and talked about their research here, which shows a lot of the same thing.
So our latest ABC News poll shows 4 in 10 Americans say they're worse off than when you were elected. Only 16% said they were better off. So why is that? Why aren't Americans feeling this?
Well, look, I think it goes well beyond the economy. Think about it. You make the news. I mean, you interview for the news. Can you think of anything I turn on the television and go, God, that makes me feel good? Almost anything. Everything is in the negative.
So it's TV.
Yeah. You guys are just reporting the negative.
Yes. So
if it weren't for you guys just reporting the negative, then none of this would be happening.
It's ABC's fault.
Yeah. So. Clearly.
So.
Accentuate the positive.
Stephanopoulos' fault.
Yeah. Right.
That's amazing. But, you know, they're going with that. It's, you know, I really wonder, because with these new inflation numbers, I really wonder, because the questions are going to come up. I mean, I would not want to be, and I, by the way, thanks, because apparently it's gone viral. When I said by mistake, Corinne Jean repair instead of Pierre, and I just repair. She doesn't repair anything, and so that apparently people have picked up on that. But the question she's going to get this week, the media, and we'll talk all about this coming up following the bottom of the hour, but the media going crazy about the fact that Biden is just stubbornly will not visit East Palestine, and the media understands, are like, look, and we even played the audio from Terry Moran of ABC going, Trump was there. This is everything the Democrats crave for. Big corporations treating rural citizens badly, chemical spills, the environment. They're completely clueless. There's no self-awareness at all.
It's right out of their party's playbook. They should have been jumping on this immediately, and they didn't do that.
So you take that, you take inflation, you talk, and we'll talk about this more coming up on the bottom of the hour, the Energy Department, and their Wall Street Journal report that, okay, most likely COVID came from a lab. Mm. Whoa.
And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed, bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal, but man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6. The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 truck stop at exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and of course, the Super Truck Showroom, stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
The Fourth Branch of Government, Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Before we get to the Wall Street Journal story on the Chinese lab leak likely behind the COVID outbreaks, according to the U.S. Energy Department, apparently data they've shared with the White House and Congress. The media is not forgetting about the Chinese balloon. Both on ABC, the president was asked about it, and so was Jake Sullivan. Mm. He was asked about it by Martha Raddatz. And listen to how she asked the question. I mean, this is sort of the way that we would ask one of the questions, you know, actually getting into the minutia of it.
The Chinese spy balloon. I want to go back to that. Clearly, that was for surveillance. You've said that. But there were also those three weather balloons shot down very quickly. You said they were a threat to civil aviation. Since then, no weather balloons have been shot down. Is that because you recalculated the radar once again, or you just no longer consider weather balloons a threat, even though there are hundreds of them right now across the U.S.?
I'm sorry. That is great.
Yeah.
I can actually say.
Basically, those were weather balloons. Are you still have any plans to shoot down more weather balloons? And if not, why not?
So you find the weather balloons are no longer a threat.
Yeah.
And let's hear his answer. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Here we go. All right. Oh, I had it there. Let's go. Mm.
My understanding is that the NORAD commander, the general in charge of the defense of North American airspace, has not recalibrated our radar, that we continue to be vigilant for unidentified objects coming into U.S. territory.
So, yeah, no, we didn't change anything.
No, we didn't change anything. We just decided not to shoot down weather balloons anymore.
It's so bad.
Oh.
We used to talk about the bubble of today. You could, you know, this today's story would move aside for the next story tomorrow. It's all piling on the plate, and the wheel keeps coming back around. It's like the media spinning wheel. Okay, what are we going to ask about? Well, spin the wheel. Oh, okay, there it is, shooting down balloons. Martha, ask them about shooting down balloons. Because there's still so many unanswered questions. And here's the other thing, too. What we heard Biden tell Stephanopoulos. Man, it's your fault for reporting everything. It's all negative. Blaming the media.
That wasn't Stephanopoulos.
Oh, okay. Blaming the media for their problem. If you guys would just quit talking about it, there wouldn't be a problem. there's a reason that the media is uncomfortable with all this, because they're not playing. The Biden administration isn't even playing out of the liberal political playbook.
No.
Because if you're a liberal activist in a newsroom, you're waiting for them to give you something you can run to your viewers or readers with that you can, you know, you jump on very easily. That's been the MO forever. In modern times, that's how it works. The administration gives them something to run with. Here, go feed that to the masses. But what do you do with any of this? There's nothing that you can sell to your readers or viewers, know it.
And that's a huge problem. And the biggest problem with that, I think what became a microcosm of the entire problem has to be East Palestine.
Right.
And the media recognizes it. When Trump visited, then the next day, Buttigieg went, and then Buttigieg went after Trump. And I'm sorry, the media notices these things, and they talked about it. And it's exactly, we played, I can't think of his name now, from ABC talking about it earlier. I just can't think of his name, the reporter. And you could tell he was just livid by it. It's like, well, you've got to go. You know, you've got to go. Here you have, and it's exactly what we said last week, how Democrats were thinking. I mean, we got that 100%, where they said Terry Moran. Basically, it's a big corporation.
Big corporation responsible for a chemical spill.
An environmental disaster.
As a liberal administration, how were you not the first there? You should have beaten the NTSB there.
And then by Friday, again, we're basically sure, and then reiterated over the weekend, Biden's not going. He's not going to go. People have been there. But then you get to Friday night, and there's Aaron Brockovich. I mean, there probably isn't any person more famous in popular culture than, you know, she was played by Julia Roberts and all because of the water contamination in California in the early 90s.
Right.
And there she is on with Tucker Carlson slamming the Biden administration and saying, don't you dare gaslight me. Yeah. Oh, my God. And I think at that point, the mainstream media just lost it over the weekend. That's why you had Terry Moran. You know, it's like they're angry. This is something we should own.
Yeah.
To the point where he lied afterwards and said, you know, probably this is, you know, Trump deregulation and possibly has something to do with that. He knew by that time the NTSB had come out with their, initial conclusion, but their initial things that they thought were the cause of it, that they believe is the cause of it. Nothing had to do with so-called, quote, Trump deregulation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how desperate he is. They don't know where to go. Biden's not following the liberal playbook on this. And that's a problem. That's a huge problem. And now you throw on top of that, and we talked about this last week and the week before and the week before that and the week before that, that every time you say, can this administration take a breath? Because they keep pushing back the presidential announcement. And that question was being asked.
Right.
When are you going to announce? Oh, I got too many things to do. Before I announce that, we're busy doing the work of the people. No, you're trying to put out fires, and every time you talk, you're making it worse.
Yep.
And then the Wall Street Journal story comes out about the lab leak. That the lab leak, the theory, and the lab leak, the Chinese lab leak, is likely behind the COVID outbreak.
Yeah.
And so that's another thing where now the media, maybe inside the White House, may let Karine Jean-Pierre off the hook a little bit, since they all bought into the same censorship of that back then. But no, I think there'll be questions because there's probably new people there. And again, it's about, you know, we played the one Democratic congressman talking on Sunday. I think it was on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Oh, no, he's talking to Jim Acosta. So it was CNN. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, this sounds like the Chinese. Yeah, you know, you can't trust them at all. I mean, everything that they did to hide all of this.
Oh, this doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, my God. Okay, now we got to pretend that what happened never happened before.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but Republicans aren't going to forget. And Democrats want to forget. But when you talk about it, and I agree with Jonathan Turley, the biggest thing here is the censorship. But the other thing is that could be just as big, because it's very important to talk about it. Now that the president is being asked the questions, are you compromising? Are the things that you're doing because you're compromised by, you know, by your relationship with you've been compromised by the Chinese?
Right.
Wow. And that was before this came out. And you look at this, and when you sit down, and if the Republicans can explain it this way, as we did, we lost a million Americans to this.
Mm-hmm.
And this president has never come out with a speech saying, China, you need to answer for this.
Right. No.
He will scream, he'll yell at everybody else, but when it comes to the Chinese and this and everything that they have done, it doesn't matter whether he says, well, I want the intelligence agencies to look at this, after he initially got the State Department to stop what the Trump State Department was doing, was looking into the origins of this, but no Democrat, there isn't one major Democrat that we know of, that has been out there screaming that we need to find out how this happens so it never happens again. And according to the figures I see, over a million Americans died of this. And now, we're told by the Energy Department that the Chinese, the lab leak is likely behind the COVID outbreak.
Yeah, right.
Is the administration going to respond way too late this time to it, or where they refuse? No, I'm not going to do it.
Well, and you know, those are the important questions. And when we ask the question, is this president compromised? Look at how many things, basically everything on his plate right now is related to that.
If you look at everything that involves, well, except for East Palestine,
mm-hmm.
but everything else, you look at it, everything else relates to, in the back of your mind, Chinese money.
Yeah.
And Chinese influence in America right now, and the Biden family getting tens of millions of dollars from Chinese interest. The Penn Biden Center, tens of millions. University of Delaware, tens of millions. That actually fully all add up to hundreds of millions of dollars coming from Chinese sources.
Right.
And then a million Americans die of COVID, and it's always been on the table for Republicans and conservatives that, look, we don't discount one theory. There are theories out there, and now everything from that point on has leaned towards a lab leak, and nothing from this president, not one speech, nothing in the State of the Union about this. Was there, you would think that the Democratic Party, after losing a million citizens to a disease, that now more and more agencies of the federal government, the FBI, the Energy Department that runs the lab section, they believe it most likely came from a lab leak. Nothing from this president.
Right.
Nothing from the Democrats. Nothing. Why? Why no curiosity?
Why not an insistence? Because think about it. Whether it's the lab leak or the wet market, you still put ownership on China to control it, to control the information. What do we know about the first few weeks that were critical? Chinese officials didn't tell us everything we needed to know. And now it's believed, in fact, early on, it was believed that it could have been controlled with the proper information. We could have got a handle on this early on with proper communication. You can lay this at China's feet all day, every day, because it belongs there.
Why won't they?
Why won't they?
Why won't the president? 866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Just went to the top of the Fox, top story Fox News, that they got the, apparently, DeSantis gave it to him, part of his new book, the part on Disney.
Mm.
And the fact that Bob Chapek actually told him in a conversation they didn't want to be involved in this. They didn't want to be involved in this kind of politics at all. But they said they had never seen anything like, you know, this type of outrage coming from the left and pressure towards Disney.
Uh-huh.
And he said, he told the governor, if Disney stayed out of politics, this is Disney would face 48 hours of outrage when the bill was passed. And then when I sign it, you'll get another 48 hours of outrage, mostly online, DeSantis said, adding, then there will be some new outrage that the woke mob will focus on and people will forget about the issue, especially considered that the considering the outrage is directed at a political media narrative, not the actual text of the legislation itself.
Right, right.
End of quote.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, told him to do it. You weathered out. I would have said even more. This bill is about teaching sexualized content. You want to be a hero to every parent in the world, in the United States and around the world? Say you will not bend, and you will not bend, and you are absolutely against teaching sexualized content to anyone who is in kindergarten through third grade and without their parents' permission.
Right. There's no way we're jumping on that.
End of story. You win. Don't lie. It's not a don't say gay bill. Don't lie about that. You're lying. Take a stand for the kids. You're Disney. You win. Couldn't do it.
And it cost him his job.
Yep.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.